Good morning, everyone. Can we all stand and let's start worship God?
As we worship, let all the world come and see how the mercy we receive from you can set them free. As we worship you, let all this joy that fills our hearts bring a hunger and a hope to those who've strayed so far. And as we bow in adoration and stand in reverent awe, show your majesty and glory, let your anointing fall. As we declare your name, Lord Jesus, as the only name who saves, may the power of your salvation fill each heart, we pray. As we worship you, let all the nations hear our song, the song of Jesus and his blood that proved his love for all. As we worship you, may all the lost and broken come, may they hear your still small voice call out your names, each one. And as we bow in adoration and stand in reverent awe, show your majesty and glory, let your anointing fall. As we declare your name, Lord Jesus, as the only name who saves, may the power of your salvation feel each heart, we pray. As we worship you, let all the world come and see how the mercy we receive from you can set them free. And as we worship you, and let all this joy that fills our hearts bring a hunger and a hope to those who've strayed so far. And as we worship you, Lord, as we worship you, this love that we receive, the love that we worship, as we worship.
I would like to welcome everybody to this morning service. We acknowledge everyone here for joining us, and when we come together to do this, it's a sign of unity in Christ. Most importantly, we want to recognize the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in our midst. The title of our Good Friday service today is Christ Died for All. To accentuate this, we will be hearing scripture reading from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, in different languages. So don't be surprised if people come here and they are reading in different languages. They are reading from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. Can you rise up? Let us pray together. Holy Spirit, we invite you to be in our midst this morning. I cover everyone here in this place with the blood of Jesus. Let your presence be with us, and let your presence go with us wherever we are. Father, we ask that your presence will be with our family and with our service today. Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst this morning. I pray for all pastors and all workers that will be speaking here this morning, that God will speak through them, and that your message will be clear, that Jesus died for us. Our Heavenly Father, Jehovah, as it is written in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, that God loved the world, that he died, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, we thank you, Father, for sending your Son that died for us because you love us. We also declare this morning that we believe in Christ, your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray and we strongly believe that we will not perish. We will have everlasting life in Jesus' name. Our Lord Jesus, we declare your word in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, that says, that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But you, Jesus, have come that we may have life and have it to the full. This morning, we all come together in agreement that the devil, who is a liar and the father of all lies, will not have power to steal, to kill, to destroy anything that is ours. But we will live a life full of joy and abundance life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. And I pray that the blood of Jesus on the cross, we will all benefit from it. I declare this morning service open in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Mitchell, John Tway says, Le bonjour qui me chaque hue le mood, qui am qui me ayu son garçon pour le mood, que tapwa yatek dans le garçon we awak, namo chi nipochek, maka chi tapatau ayawachek la vie. Merci.
German. Denn also hat Gott die Welt geliebt, dass er seinen eingeborenen Sohn gab, auf dass alle, die an ihn glauben, nicht verloren werden, sondern das ewige Leben haben.
English, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
French, car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son fils unique, afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse point, mais qu'il ait la vie éternelle.
Spanish, porque tanto amó Dios al mundo que dio su hijo unigénito, para que todo el que crea en él no se pierda, sino que tenga vida eterna.
Ukrainian. Так бо Бог полюбив світ, що дав сина свого однородженого, щоб кожен, хто вірує в нього, не згинув, але мав життя вічне. Дякую.
Амгарик. Алілуя. በእርሱ የሚያምን ሁሉ የዘላለም ሕይወት እንዲኖረው እንጂ እግዚአብሔር አንደኛ ልጁን እስኪሰጥ ድረስ ዓለምን እንዲወዷልና አሜን።
Juan 3:16 Sapagkat gayon na lamang ang pag-ibig ng Diyos sa sanlibutan, kaya't ibinigay niya ang kanyang bugtong na anak upang sa kanya'y sinumang sumampalataya ay hindi mapahamak at magkaroon ng buhay na walang hanggan. Amen.
Albania. Sepse Perëndia e deshi aq botën, sa da birin e tij të vetlindur, që kushdo që beson në të mos humbat, por të ketë jetën e përjetshme. Faleminderit. Sepse Perëndia e deshi aq botën, sa da birin e tij të vetlindurin, që kushdo që beson në të mos humbat, por të ketë jetën e përjetshme. Faleminderit.
Urdu. Kyunki Khuda ne duniya se aisi mohabbat rakhi ke usne apna iklauta beta bakhsh diya taaki jo koi us pe iman laaye wo halak na ho balki hamesha ki zindagi paaye. Amen.
Nigerian language Yoruba.
Johanu ori keta ese karin di logun. Itori oluwa fe araye to bege ti o fi omo re bibi inu re kan soso fun ni ki eni keni ti o ba gbagbo ma ba segbe sugbon ki o le ni iye aini pekun. Hallelujah.
Let's all stand again and start peace of the Lord.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you sin and shame, in love you gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow, Lord, all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. The darling of heaven, crucified.
Once again, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Yes, Jesus, I crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious.
Life, Lord God.
Oh Lord, you search me. You know my way.
Even if I fail you, Lord God.
Even if I fail you, I know you
holy presence,
your holy presence surrounded me
in every season, Lord God.
In every season, I know you love me. You love me
at the cross.
At the cross, I bow my knees. Where your blood was shed for me, there's no greater love than this.
You have overcome.
You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest praise. What can separate us now?
You go before us.
You go before me.
You shield our way.
You shield my way. Your hand upholds me, and I know you love me.
I know
you love me
at the cross.
At the cross I bow my knees, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this.
You have overcome.
You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me
now? At the cross, Lord God.
At the cross, I bow my knees, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate us now? You tore the veil. You made a way when you said,
Jesus.
You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate us now?
At the cross.
At the cross I bow my knees, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this.
Jesus overcome.
You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way when you said that it is done. You tore the
continue to worship God right now. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus.
We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
Thank you so much for that wonderful music. That was beautiful. And I really enjoyed that hallelujah part. Can we come before God in prayer? Lord, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for the gift you gave us of salvation and eternal life. As we come here on this Good Friday, it is good because of what you gave us, but it is not good because of the sacrifice that you made, the pain that you experienced, the suffering you experienced. And Lord, we thank you for that love that was demonstrated there. Lord, I ask that you would translate the words that are spoken into words that each soul and heart here needs to hear today. In your name we pray. Amen. Everyone, whether they realize it or not, has a particular way that they show love and that they prefer to receive love. Whether they're aware of it or not, this is something that intrinsically is part of each and every person. And about 20 years ago, an author by the name of Gary Chapman, and anybody who's done pre-marriage counseling has probably gone through this, he coined the term love language. And he coined this to describe the manner in which we demonstrate our love and prefer to have love demonstrated to us. And he identified 5 of these love languages: quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, and gifts. Now, we all, to varying degrees, enjoy spending time with those we love. But someone whose love language is quality time really, really, really loves spending time with people that they love. It invigorates them. It excites them. They love it. They can't get enough of it. Whether it's playing Monopoly — every single time I've ever played Monopoly, I've lost, but here's hoping that the next time I'll win. But whether it's playing Monopoly or whether it's going for a hike with someone they care about or having just a chat at a coffee shop, they adore spending quality time with those they care about. Now, others prefer physical touch, appropriate physical touch. I'm sure we all know that person that's a hugger. You know the type. They greet you with a hug. They say goodbye to with a hug. You all know it. You're thinking, oh, yeah, that's my Aunt Beatrice, or yeah, that's so-and-so. Yeah, everybody knows that person that's a hugger. They love holding hands. They love a back rub. They love giving hugs. Physical touch is so important to them. While others, and this is myself, and my husband is very good at following this, revel in words of affirmation. We adore having someone compliment us, and it has to be a true compliment. Don't tell me that I'm tall as a Goliath, because I'm not. I'm aware of that, even with the heels. But we love having words of encouragement spoken over us. Words of affirmation make us feel important and valued, and that's that person for the love language of words of affirmation. Now, for those whose love language is acts of service, nothing says, "I love you," better than vacuuming and sweeping the floor. Although probably that's every single wife here is like, oh yeah, that's my language. You got me there. But even aside from that, you know, perhaps it's doing an unpleasant task for somebody else. Someone that's something you don't really want to do, and that person steps up and does it for you. Someone whose love language is acts of service, they really love that. They appreciate that. And the last one, the people whose love language is gifts. Now, this is also my love language, and we are a highly misunderstood group because people think we're materialistic or greedy, and we're not. Everybody out there who I'm sure is, they love getting gifts, it's not about materialism or greed. In fact, actually, the financial value of the gift is actually immaterial. It doesn't really matter. It's more about the time and the effort and the thought that goes into the gift. Who here remembers making a mix tape? Come on, hands up. Y'all remember doing it. Yeah. You did it for your best friend or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your family member or whoever, and you took time and effort to plan it out, what songs you were going to put them in and what order those songs were going to go in, because this was very important, right? So it took you time and effort. And if you didn't have it, you had to listen on the radio to catch that one song so you could record it right away. Everyone, hey, I remember this. This is my experience growing up. So that is the type of thing that a person whose love language is gifts loves, that sort of thing. That really gets them. These five love languages are universal. They transcend age, they transcend gender, language, and culture. Now, as I've been describing this, perhaps you've been thinking, whoa, you have just nailed my aunt, or that is totally my best friend, or wow, that is perfectly my neighbor to a T, or to an N, I guess neighbor would be starting with N. Every one of us, in fact, everyone in the entire world has a love language, whether they realize it or not. And God, through his son Jesus, demonstrated his love for us using all five of these love languages so that everyone, no matter which of the five love languages we prefer, can understand and receive that love. Earlier, we read John 3:16 in a variety of languages, and my kudos to whoever thought that up. I thought that was beautiful. It was brilliant. I really loved it. So absolutely, yes, that was a beautiful gathering of cultures and languages, which, as has been stated, that is what heaven's going to be like. And that was beautiful. I really enjoyed that. For God so loved the world, all languages, all cultures. Christ died for all cultures, all languages, all peoples. God's love is universal. And he demonstrated his love to us using all five of those love languages. So the first of those five languages, love languages, that God demonstrated was quality time. And Gary Chapman describes the love language of quality time as giving the other person your undivided attention. In other words, that cell phone is turned off. And even if it vibrates in your pocket, you ignore it. I know it's tempting to check it for a text message. We actually time my husband as to how long he reaches for his text message after he hears it beep. So the cell phone's turned off. Distractions are ignored, except of course if the train happens to go by, because you might need to stop talking for a moment so the other person can hear you. Distractions are ignored, and one's complete concentration is focused on the other person. Christ came down to earth to dwell among us, to give us his undivided attention, to spend quality time with his creation. And throughout the Gospels, we read accounts of Jesus spending quality time with various people in addition to his disciples. I'm sure we all remember, well, if you were in Sunday school years ago, you remember singing the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Everyone who, show of hands, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Okay, all right, I'm not the only person that grew up with that. So we all know the story of Zacchaeus, and even if you haven't, you're kind of familiar with the name at least. Well, Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus was coming to town, and he wanted to see him. But there was a wee little problem. Remember, he was a wee little man, which means he was short. Was, you know, wee maybe sounds a little more colloquial. So it made him hard to see over the crowds. And in addition to this, he was a tax collector. And people didn't like tax collectors. Not much has changed, truthfully. But anyways, people didn't like tax collectors. And so the other villagers weren't too keen on letting him get to the front so he could see everybody. And so he had to be, you know, kind of think outside the box. And so he saw a sycamore tree and he climbs up the tree to be able to see Jesus. He's like, okay, I can do this. I can see him through the branches. But then Jesus does something that astounds the crowd. He stops. He stops and he looks right up at Zacchaeus in that tree and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. He demonstrated his love by spending quality time with Zacchaeus. He gave him his undivided attention. Even though there was a crowd of people, he singled Zacchaeus out and gave him his undivided attention. Well, Jesus continues to demonstrate his love for us by spending quality time with us. And when we speak to him in prayer, he gives us his undivided attention. Christ died for all, and his love is universal and can be understood by all. So he demonstrated that love by spending quality time with us. He also displayed his love for the world through physical touch. Jesus never shied away from touching another person, especially those in need. In Matthew 8, we read of how Jesus physically reached out and touched a man suffering from leprosy. Leprosy can be a very hideous disease, and at that time it was viewed as being highly contagious. Lepers were banned from villages, they were shunned, nobody talked to them, and you definitely didn't touch them. Yet, Jesus reached out and touched the man and healed him. In John 9, Jesus actually used some of his own spit, mixing it with dirt to make a mud covering for a man's eyes to heal his blindness. Now, I will point out, do not generally use spit as a way of showing physical affection. Might not go too well for you. Just, you know, want to make sure that there's no kids that are like, hey, cool, I can do this. No, sorry, that's not an excuse. But you get the idea. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus demonstrated his love using physical touch. He could have simply healed the leper and the blind man by his words alone. He could have just said, be healed. And he did sometimes do that. But he didn't do it that time. He reached out and touched them and then also spoke to them. He did that physical touch. And he continues to physically touch people today. Some of us might have grown up singing or know the song, He Touched Me. Oh, He Touched Me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Christ died for all, and his love is universal. And he demonstrated that by spending quality time with us, physically touching us, and speaking words of affirmation over us. The very words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, those in themselves are words of affirmation. They're a bold declaration of God's love and care for his world. Throughout his ministry here on earth, Jesus spoke words of affirmation over various individuals that he came into contact with. When a prostitute woman in Luke 8 came into the house where Jesus was eating supper, she anointed his head with oil and then proceeded to wash his feet with her tears. Now, everyone around them was watching this and thinking, oh, man, she's going to really get it once Jesus opens his mouth. We've heard him talk against those Pharisees. Well, what is he going to say against a prostitute? Well, what did he do? He spoke words of affirmation over her. He spoke words of peace, of love, of hope over her. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples who they thought he was. And Peter's always been my favorite because he's the impetuous one. He jumps in with both feet totally in it, 110%. And he says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And Jesus then turned to him and declared a blessing over Peter. He spoke words of affirmation over Peter, saying, on this rock, I will build my church. He spoke words of affirmation over him. And to this day, Jesus still speaks words of affirmation over us. He reminds us of how special and precious and loved each and every person is. Christ died for all, and his love is universal. And he demonstrated that love by spending quality time, physically touching us, speaking words of affirmation, and by providing the greatest act of service that can be done for another. There's a saying that actions speak louder than words. Now, for those who's like myself, love language is words of affirmation. Not exactly true, because for us, words are actually paramount. But for those whose love language is acts of service, actions without a single word speak volumes. Jesus came with a purpose, to demonstrate God's love to us. And he did it by making the biggest act of service imaginable, by sacrificing himself on the cross for our sins. Romans 5:8 states, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God just didn't say, I love you, and left it at that. He showed it through his actions. Christ died for all. Some of you might have heard the saying, put your money where your mouth is. Well, God did that in a huge way. When Jesus died on the cross, he willingly chose to sacrifice himself and submit himself to a horrific death. This wasn't a humane death. This was the exact opposite of a humane death. This was a horrifyingly, agonizingly painful, embarrassing, humiliating, agonizing, slowly, breath by breath, death. And he did that because he loves us. Christ died for all. And God's love is universal. And he's demonstrated that you quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, and finally, through the love language of gifts. God demonstrated his love for us by giving us the greatest gifts that can ever be given: salvation and eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Ephesians 2:8 states, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. God has given us the most amazing gifts ever: salvation and eternal life. And they are his gifts to the world. Christ died for the world. Christ died for all. And these gifts are way, way better than the most amazing gift that we could ever experience. We all remember that one gift that we were so excited about at Christmas time or our birthday. Maybe if you ever watched A Christmas Story, it was the BB gun when you were 8 years old. Or maybe it was the Barbie dream house when you were a girl. Or maybe it was just this amazing gift that you really wanted. Christ's gift, God's gift of salvation and eternal life, is way better than any of those, because his gifts are for eternity. However, just like any gift, we have a choice. We can choose to excitedly rip into the wrapping paper like, you know, a four-year-old does at Christmas, and they just rip, 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 and they don't care that there's particles of paper flying everywhere and that you spent hours painstakingly wrapping every single one of these. Sorry, just going through a bit of withdrawal with my kids because this is what happened to me. But anyways, going over it, leaving it alone. We can excitedly rip off that wrapping paper and excitedly take that amazing gift that's inside and glory in it and revel in it. Or we can just toss it aside, ignoring the precious present inside that gift. God desires that we embrace his gifts of salvation and eternal life, that we gratefully accept them, that we respond to his offer of forgiveness of our sins with a willing heart that longs to learn more about Jesus. Christ died for each and every one of us. Christ died for all. And God demonstrated his love using all five of those love languages so that his love can be understood by every single person around the world, no matter what their love language, they can understand his love. No matter what language, no matter what culture, God's love transcends over all of that. Christ died for all. And we heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I want everybody right now, we're going to repeat that, and you use it in your own language, and it will be a beautiful hymn of praise to God. So we're going to repeat John 3:16. Y'all know it in your head. And I want you to choose the language of your choice, and we're going to speak that together, affirming how God demonstrated his love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That was beautiful. God demonstrated his immense, powerful love for us by spending quality time with us, by physically touching us, speaking words of affirmation over us, providing us with the best act of service one can ever give, and lastly, by providing us with the most amazing gifts of all time, salvation and eternal life. The choice before each and every person is this: how will you respond to his love? That is the choice that is presented to each and every person. How will you choose to respond to his love? Because it is a choice. You make the choice to respond to his love or to not respond to his love. Will you seek to spend quality time with him? Will you seek to give him your undivided attention as you come before him in prayer and spend time just reveling in his presence? Will you seek to experience his physical touch in your life to make you whole again? Will you listen to his words of affirmation over you? The world gives us so many negative words and statements that can just drain the life out of us. Let God's words of affirmation build you up and encourage you and fill you with life and light. Will you respond to his act of service? Because it is a response that is called for. And lastly, you have the choice. Will you accept his gifts of salvation and eternal life? How will you personally, not the person next to you, not your best friend, not your aunt, not your cousin, how will you personally respond to his love? As we sing, I encourage you to reflect on how God demonstrated his love for you and the entire world, how Christ died for all, and how you can respond, how you can demonstrate your love and appreciation back to him. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for that great love. We thank you for how you demonstrated it to us in ways that every person can understand and appreciate and respond to. God, I ask that every person who has heard these words would respond to your love, that they would reach out to you wherever they might be, that they would feel that all-encompassing love around them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did His grace appear. The hour I first believe, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has rescued me. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His words, my hope, secure. As long as life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. Amazing.
Let's declare, my chains are gone.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. That's another song that we used to sing, a children's hymn. And it's true, regardless of the color of our skin, where we've come from, our background, our life experience, God loves us. And Christ died for all. And we've seen that, we've experienced that, I think, through the different people involved, the different cultures. It's just a powerful and a beautiful thing. And I want to thank, on behalf of the ministry, I want to thank all of you for being here today, taking part in this service, and especially for everyone involved from the different, we've had a lot of people involved today. Praise God for that. As we gather here, we think about all around the world, Christians are gathering on this Good Friday. And it's amazing to think about that. I know Yorkton has changed a lot in the 10 years that I've been here, and the world has come here. It's neat to think how God is at work, how He is continuing to share His love, the good news. And I hope that we'll think about that and reflect upon that and maybe have some questions. Did Christ really die for me? Maybe you're not sure about that. I know there are some people that would be happy to talk with you more about that, to pray with you. Maybe you're going through some struggle. There's a lot of pastors here today, a lot of people who are mature believers who love the Lord. They'd be happy to talk with you, to pray with you. If you want to do that, I just encourage you after the service just to come to the front and somebody will seek you out and help you in that. But I hope that you'd be free enough to do that today and feel comfortable with that. Also, remind you, there's a lot of good churches in Yorkton. Good Friday is part of the story, but it's not the whole story. Sunday morning, we think about the resurrection. And each Sunday is really, the early believers started meeting on Sunday because they wanted to proclaim the truth that He's risen. So come out on Sunday and worship the Lord. Complete the whole story. I encourage you to do that. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. We do think about the believers gathered around the world today. Lord, we know that not everybody is able to gather in a comfortable place. Not everybody is able to gather unhindered or in fear of what might happen to them for gathering. There are believers who are being persecuted, whose lives are threatened because of the cause of Christ. Lord, may we be mindful of them. May you protect them. May you watch over them. And for all of us, Lord, may we really be impacted again on this time of this Easter weekend. May we be impacted with the power and the truth that indeed you died for all. You died for my brothers and sisters in this room. You died for me. How powerful, how wonderful. And Lord, I thank you that you didn't just die, but you rose again to newness of life. And that gives us the assurance that we can live that abundant and also the eternal life. Thank you that we can celebrate that, and we look forward to coming on Easter to proclaim that truth. And I pray that it would be heard loudly all around the world on this Easter Sunday as well. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Amen. Go in peace. Thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now